So first off, thank you so much for coming on my show and on CSCK, the radio station.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, Kimberly, where am I speaking to you from? Where are you right now?
Right now, I am in Prince George. We're doing a show here tonight at the Legion with Danny Bell. And we've been kind of home basing here out of Prince George for the last couple weeks and then heading out for weekend shows from here.
Oh, nice. So you're not like on the road, then you can kind of leave out and then come back.
Yeah, this has been a nice little break from the rest of the tour where I kind of have a bit of a home base and have a couple days off where I don't have to be driving and performing. So it's been actually really nice. This is the first time that I've really spent time in Prince George, and there's lots of really great people here. I've got quite a few pals here, and it's a nice little city. So I've been really quite enjoying my
Good.
downtime.
Good. What's your favorite and then I guess least favorite part about being on the road?
Yeah, my favorite part about being on the road is just the people that I get to connect with, especially hosts, because it's really quite an honor to have people welcome you into their home. And when I'm experiencing that, like, especially when, I mean, this is almost 2 months for me on the road now this time around. So that's a lot of people and a lot of homes. And often people just kind of treat you like family while you're there. And that's a huge, I don't know if there's much higher honor that somebody can pay you than, you know, taking you into their home and treating you like family. You know, like sometimes, you know, they cook for you too, and it's really quite humbling, almost overwhelming. Like when I think back on tour and I think of all the wonderful, generous people, it's almost more than I know how to kind of process. The worst or the hardest part for me is also, like, I'm an introvert and I live alone, and I've lived alone for a long time, so I'm really used to having my own space and autonomy, and it can get tiring for me. I usually find after a couple of weeks on the road my social meter runs pretty low, and I mean, it just becomes important for me to kind of spend time by myself when I'm able, get out in nature as much as I can, because that's really grounding for me. And, you know, things like making sure that I'm getting lots of rest, get as much sleep as I'm able to do, get as much nutrition as I'm able to get, which can be a challenge on the road. And if I'm really disciplined about those things, then it makes it a lot easier.
And so this tour, Sitting B-Side, is that your tour name or is that just you with Danny? Like
That's my tour name. So, Sitting with Uncomfortable Feelings is the name of my new album. And for this tour, I released three brand new B-sides for the album, which is why it's called B-Side Tour. But then I also did a little play on words with that, Sitting B-Side Danny Bell, or Sitting B-Side Duke and Goldie, or other people I played with. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I listened to Sitting with Uncomfortable Feelings this morning went before we were going to chat, before our ill-fated Zoom and Teams meeting attempts. But I was listening to it when I was like making, it's my friend's birthday today. So I'm making a cake for him, just listening to your album. And it was perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you did work as a bank manager for years. So how many of your songs were like scribbled on the back of like company letterhead or anything like that?
You know, actually really not that many. There's not a lot of downtime at the bank to do things like that. If I had something pop into my head, and because sometimes that would happen, I'll just get a few lines or a verse and something I really didn't want to lose, then I would just like jot it down in a quick email to myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a lot of scribbling downtime, I'm afraid.
Yeah, something that I noticed lyrically in the album was that it's almost like kind of like advice for women. Like it has this very like just a lot of things that I've thought of or things that me and my girlfriends like we say to each other that we exchange to each other. There was one especially that was about like filling your cup, and my friends and I always talk about like your gas tank where it's like you're either putting in or you're taking out. And do you feel like having a job, the bank manager job, that was so kind of, like you're managing all these people, all these different, you know, personality types and emotions, and then people coming to the bank with whatever they need sort of thing. Did that inform kind of who you were writing for or to, or things that you wanted to get out into the world?
I really stepped out of that role when I started playing my own original music. So it was a transition for me because I was finding that I was just so exhausted at the end of the day that I really didn't have anything left for creativity. Like I was just the last thing that felt like work, and it would be the last thing I'd want to do. And I just kind of wanted to like veg and have no demands on me at the end of the day. So I just kind of had to get really honest with myself about, you know, we trade our time for money, particularly in a capitalist society. And the thing that we don't think enough about is that I can't get any of that time back. You know, you can have all the money in the world and it doesn't buy you any of your time back. You don't get a redo on your 20s, you know, like they're gone, they're gone. So I just kind of got to a point where it was like, I was more afraid of not doing the thing than I was of doing the thing, which I was terrified of. So, so competing fears and then, you know, just having to make decisions that I know at the end of the day, I'm going to be able to live with, right? Because if I don't get to be the regional vice president of the bank, I think on my deathbed, I'm not going to regret that one. That's fine, right? But if I never tried and gave absolutely everything I could to try to play music, then I would feel like a cop out. I would feel like I was taking the easy road.
Totally. And like being creative, it is a different discipline as well, right? Like it's a muscle that you have to exercise, and and especially too for an album like yours and a sound like yours, which in my opinion is so figured out. I mean, I'm speaking to you about your music, so feel free to be like, you're wrong, but it's so figured out. And also the production on that album is incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, but it's just like, I just think like, honestly, I love to hear, and I love to speak to people who are just like, yeah, like basically I couldn't afford not to do it anymore.
Absolutely true. And with this third album, I am very, very happy with the production. Like this is my third full length. And with my first two albums, I did get a lot of wonderful support and that helped me to achieve what I did, which I'm super grateful for. It wasn't until my third album that I kind of understood enough about what all of the roles are. And like, I mean, my first album, I really didn't understand what mixing or mastering was, to be honest. I kind of leaned on somebody else who took more of the lead with that kind of thing, particularly in the studio. So, but by the third album, I knew what the roles were, and I knew who the players were, and I was able finally to really handpick my team in a very specific way to get the sound that I was looking for. And I brought in, actually, I worked with an all-female studio team on this, which was
hell yeah,
incredible. It was the best experience. And I brought a female producer in from Nashville. So I flew her to Edmonton, where I recorded the album. And she was recommended to me by Tara Lightfoot. I did some shows with Tara, and Tara actually produced a track that I wrote and recorded with Ayla Brooke and the Soundmen on his last album. So I took advantage of that opportunity to talk to her about producers and kind of tell her what I was looking for. And she recommended Brandy Zidane, who is... she called her a tone bone, which I thought was hilarious. And, and I know what I want to do. I know what my aesthetic is, but I'm not necessarily like as well versed in all of the gear, particularly in the studio, wherein Brandy is like an absolute master at that sort of thing. Like she was listening to the songs. She's like, you're going to play it on this kind of guitar through this kind of amp with this pedal. And like, I ended up buying all new gear after we recorded the album because I wanted to be able to reproduce those sounds. And
yeah, live, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So she gave it, like, my first two albums are a little more like produced and polished sounding than my sound is. Mm-hmm. And this one, we really captured that sort of tough, raw vibe energy that really comes through in my live shows.
Yeah, that's okay. I did not know that about, because I was going to ask too, if that was produced in Edmonton, because so, but I didn't know that it was all female. That's so wicked. So
in that band,
it's amazing. It makes me so happy. My friend, who's a beautiful singer songwriter here in Smithers, her name's Sarah Northcott. She's always talking about, like, you know, like, let's just practice this stuff on our own. Let's produce our own albums, because we were in a band and we were writing music, but we, you know, like, we're playing our own instruments, but, you know, we really wanted to have it be a full 360, either yeah. all us or at least all women.
If you want to engage a female producer here in Canada, Jane Trimble, she is World Peach Records based okay. out of Vancouver. The only reason I didn't work with her is because there's so much electric, loud, heavy kind of, and that's not as much what she does, but she is fabulous. So she'd be a great one to connect with.
Oh, that's awesome. And Tara Lightfoot, is Tara from Hamilton, Ontario?
Yes, that's me. Yeah, Tara is awesome. And I find her so inspiring. I've been lucky to get to share stages with her a few times. And she's just the most down-to-earth, nicest person on top of it all. Like, we played Wild Mountain Music Festival on the same bill last year mm-hmm. in the summer. And that's based out of Hinton. It's a beautiful festival. And I just, like, messaged her ahead. And I'm like, oh, you want some backups? And she's like, yeah. So I ended up singing my backup singer, and I ended up singing backups for her.
And so you're playing guitar on the album and singing. Like, were you always a musical kid? Were you, like, had to take piano lessons and realize guitar was what you wanted? Or what's kind of been your history with playing yeah. music?
So in my home, it was kind of like, if you're going to be in music, then you're going to study music and you're going to get your certifications and you're going to compete and you have to win and all of that. So it
because, you know, music is a competition. So
exactly. Obviously, why else would we do it other than for the sweet, sweet money bucks, right? But so that was kind of the world I grew up in. And I studied voice for almost 12 years, kind of on and off. So, but it was never really what moved me. Like, it's not like on my own time I'm listening to opera. That's not really my jam. So I remember I borrowed a guitar from a school teacher of mine when I was in high school and just played it all day through bleeding fingers, learned all the chords and started playing songs, like, obsessively. And, you know, for the first, 10, 15 years that I played guitar, I could only play sitting. I could only play downstrokes, and I could only play without a pick.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when I started kind of writing my own songs and pushing myself and wanting to, you know, be capable of doing a guitar solo or things like that on stage, then I really started to kind of expand my skills. But honestly, I was a late bloomer, and it took me a long time. And if there's anything I could do now, something I really would like to do is songwriting workshops particularly for female identifying or non-binary folks, young folks, people who feel like they don't have a place at the table, people who feel like because they didn't grow up with it, or they don't think they're good enough, they don't know how to get good enough. That was me, right? So I kind of want to be that person that I wasn't able to find. And I would love to, you know, just kind of invite folks to that table.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I can hear a lot of, like, what aligns with your soul. That seems to be kind of a theme with it. Like, again, I keep on referencing this, my friend, but my girlfriend, Alicia, and I, you know, the fill the tank friend, but, you know, yeah. It's like you kind of have, like, two paths. I mean, obviously there's gray area, but it's like the stuff that aligns with your soul or the stuff that erodes at your soul. And
yeah, you betcha.
Yeah. And it really feels like the alignment is the message that you're trying to get across, which is just, yeah, very, it comes through very clear. So whether or not you start doing those workshops right away, I feel like you're kind of already doing it in the music.
That's so cool. I love that.
So I guess kind of just a hypothetical here for you. So imagine dream opening act, you as the opening act for someone that's a dream, and then someone that you would also love to put on stage and have open for you.
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. You know, God, like, I would probably just have to be super, super, super selfish and say my dream to open for would be probably either Tom Waits or Erykah Badu.
Ooh, yeah.
Super different sides of the foot. To me, those are huge inspirations.
Yeah.
And I think they're both like living legends. So on a very selfish level, just because I would love that opportunity.
Hell yeah, be selfish. Yeah.
Yeah. But that would be probably my choice. In terms of someone to open for me, I actually just ran into somebody I had never heard of before. He has nothing online. And but I was playing at the Owl Acoustic Lounge in Lethbridge, which is one of my favorite rooms in Alberta. It's really fabulous.
Oh, nice.
And it was an open stage. So I did like a set before the open stage. And there was this guy that went up and played a couple people after me, who literally blew my mind. I just couldn't even believe what I was hearing, because it sounded like the reincarnation of Jeff Buckley.
Whoa.
I'm not even exaggerating to you. Like, I almost want to find the video and play a little just to show you, or I'll send it to you, because I was absolutely astounded by this young guy's voice. His name is Kevin Gyron.
Uh-huh.
And I think I would pick him to open for me, just because I would love to hear a whole set of his music. I asked him, I'm like, where can I buy your music? He's like, I haven't recorded anything. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because I have a day job. I'm like, quit your job. Quit it. So I don't think he's like totally rolling with it yet, but he should, because he's amazing.
Yeah. I'm sure getting feedback like that too is just the kind of thing where it's like, whether or not like you kind of know how someone's reacting to it when you're just like kind of fanning out on someone, that's the kind of stuff that sticks.
Yeah.
And so what piece of advice have you been given? And I would say maybe about performing, but maybe it's also for recording as well. But was there kind of any piece of advice that really stuck out to you that you feel has just kind of maintained throughout how you approach making music?
Yes, absolutely. It comes immediately when you asked me that. And I'm going to do a horrible job of misquoting Andy Warhol on this one, but it's based on an Andy Warhol quote. And it was actually my buddy, Matt Blackie. We were driving up to North Country Fair to play. And I was kind of telling him how, you know, like the imposter syndrome thing that we all struggle with. Basically what it is don't waste your time worrying about whether or not what you're making is any good. Just keep on making stuff. And by the time whatever you made is out for public consumption, you're going to be three projects ahead of that, and you're not even going to care anymore.
Yeah.
So that was the best advice that I ever got, because it really helped mobilize me.
So for someone who's listening and, you know, they're thinking about, or they're new to performing as well, what advice would you give to someone if they're getting started on it and they still have those jitters that are, you know, probably don't go away anyway, but what would you tell someone about performing? You knew earlier too.
Yeah. What I would say is that if you wait for something to meet your own standard before you put it out there, then you're never going to get started. You just need to let it be what it is. Put it out there, keep going, give it that space to grow. So, and the other thing I would say, and some people, in fact, there's somebody who advised me the opposite of this, but screw that guy. But I would say, you know, you really have to write from what you know.
Yeah.
You know, like don't try to reach outside of yourself to be something more than what you feel you are, or don't feel like you need to do that. But just, you know, so much, in my opinion, of what we try to hide from each other as humans is just normal human universal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put so much energy into trying to be like above being human, which is such a waste. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of potential for connection. If we just admit what we're struggling, I think what we realize is that we're all the same.
Do you have any sort of daily practice? I mean, you mentioned nutrition and getting out and getting time to yourself as an introvert, which I 100% get, but do you have any other sort of daily routines that you find really help you kind of be ready for that creative space?
Yeah, it's easier for me when I'm at home, I'll be honest. When I'm on the road, some of those routines are more difficult to hold on to. But I mean, it's nothing, probably nothing unique. But for me, yoga and meditation is super, super helpful just in general to like not being a crazy lady. and being out in nature, I spend a lot of time in the forest at home. And when I'm in the forest, I just really feel I just feel like my whole being is being nurtured. Like I'm getting nurture from, you know, the trees and the oxygen and the sun and the fresh air, all of that. But also it's just like my soul expands. And for me, nature is church. Like I get that spiritual feeling of connectedness and, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I feel for myself that I am the most kind of in my healthiest place when I'm in nature. So those are probably the underpinnings of what keeps me grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose voice or perspective do you think is missing in a lot of Canadian music?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, the obvious, most clear answer to me with that is Indigenous voices. And luckily, I would say in the last 5 years, I've really noticed more space being held for that. But like all things in Canada, in my opinion, the way forward is to glean from the wisdom of people who have actually existed on the land way, 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 way longer than any of us and already know how to live with the land in a way that is healthy, which is really the biggest, I think, one of the biggest threats in the world right now with climate change. And there's just so many things in our relationship with the land that are broken and abusive. And I think that Indigenous people had this figured out and had that wisdom for, you know, a very, very long time. And I think I don't know if there's any other way forward at this point. And even then, I wonder if it's too late, like, not to be a downer, but yeah, I think that Indigenous voices would be the healthiest way to move forward and take the lead pretty much on most issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Total left turn here. But who wrote the lyric? Who wrote the lyric, "My body is a temple, but my mind is a garage"?
Yes. Isn't that great? So that's Zotica. Zotica is an MC based out of Edmonton. And she and I actually, she was one of the first people that I met and kind of looked up to and hung around with when I first moved to Edmonton. And and she's a beast. Like this woman is an actual force of nature. And so I have collabed with her for a song on every single one of my albums.
Cool.
And it's usually when I have something that I need to say, but maybe there are things to say that I am not the right person to say.
Right.
Something, you know? So I'll bring her in, and she is a human rights activist. That's her whole life. You know, she has done nothing but labor for vulnerable folks. Like her whole life, she has been this. And she's one of the deepest, like Zotica literally translates, I think, to wise woman in Yiddish. And she's always carried that depth. Her twin sister also does, incidentally. They're really, really amazing people. And so I invited her to collab with me, and she just comes in and like, she always picks up on what it is I'm trying to say. And then she just drives it home. And like, yeah, I love sharing a stage with her. I love collabing with her. Her stuff is awesome. You should check out her stuff. If you love like sage, wise woman, powerhouse, warrior, badass, then Zotica is for you. So that's Zadeka. And her last album actually is Zotica and the Murder Hornets.
Uh-huh.
And so it's her and three wicked horn and flute. And man, like getting to see those four women perform is like a thrill, an absolute thrill.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Thanks for giving me the spelling and also the recommend there. Cause I'll pair that with this episode. Okay. So we only have a minute 40 left on this Zoom call here, but I want to respect time. So, and I know I want to just give you some downtime as well. So I guess first off, I'd like to say thank you for so much for coming on my show. This has been so great speaking with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's been really
also
great.
Do you want to be my friend? Are we friends now?
I'd love to. I would love to. I feel like you and I could like chat on the phone.
We're friends
and
just now, be right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Just because there's only a minute left. So I guess, will you let people know where to find you online and follow you for your music?
Yeah. So the best place is probably my website, which is just www.kimberlymcgregor.com. I'm also on Bandcamp. I did bite the bullet recently and go on Spotify, but that would be not my first choice of where to access my music. Necessary evil.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I kind of forget it whenever I'm like looking for like a Neil Young song. I'm like, oh, right. He's not on here anymore. Yeah. Okay.
Hi, my name is Kimberly McGregor, and you are listening to CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio. You are listening to CICK 93.9 FM Smithers Community Radio, and this is Kimberly McGregor joining Pammer on I Digress on CICK Mondays, 3 to 5 p.m. on 93.9 FM.
FM. Yeah.